How many of you have served as a deacon in your life? Okay, I can sit down then. That's good. Yeah, so this sermon series is about serving Jesus together, and we looked at our responsibilities as members of a church last week, and we're looking at deacons this week, elders next week, and pastors the week after. And I'm absolutely thrilled that 3/4 of you have stuck your hand up and said you have served as a deacon. Did you feel like it was an important job? Definitely. You didn't get the impression from reading those passages that it's like, oh, a little bit beneath you, like I'm a more important person because I'm looking after the word and prayer and you're just waiting on tables. You didn't feel that in any way? No? That's good. That's good. Because that's one of the main points I think we need to take from looking at these passages. There's not a... Some churches do have hierarchies, but there's no real evidence of hierarchies in the New Testament. I'm only going to speak briefly this morning. I'm only going to draw out some of the observations that I've thought about when thinking through those two passages. And really, those two passages, they account for about 90% of what the New Testament says about deacons. There's a few other passages at the end of Paul's letters where he thanks the deacons and he names some of those deacons. And we've got lots of names in Acts 6 as well. And outside of that, there's actually not that much job description. There's far less job description than there is for elders, as we'll discover next week. And I guess the take-home message from that is that, you know how sometimes when you apply for a job and it tells you who you're reporting to and what your duties are, and at the very bottom of the job description it says, and any other things the person in charge thinks up? Yeah, I think yep. Everyone's nodding. That's the deacon, okay? That's why I think we don't have a very, very strict and defined job description, because they, as deacons, are gifts to the church from Jesus. That's who deacons are. They are a gift to us from Jesus, helping us to undertake all of the things that he would have us do in this place, in this city, on this planet. And there's really no end to the number of things he might ask of us and any other duties. I think that's one of the take-home messages I have from the absence of a clear description of the role of deacons. The other thing that I reflected on at length this week, did you notice in that Acts 6 passage, what was it that prompted the calling and the designation of deacons? It was a fight. There was a disagreement over food. The Hebrew widows in Jerusalem, they were getting more food than the Greek Jew widows. There was a fight. And it's obviously just like in the Old Testament, we saw how everyone brought their disputes to Moses. Everyone's gone up to the apostles and said, you've got to sort this out. There's an injustice here. And the apostles thought, far out. We could spend the rest of our lives dealing with this kind of stuff. Surely there are smart people in this new community that Jesus has formed that can handle that. Surely God will provide for his people. And so they put that suggestion to the early church. Do you know what's interesting about those wonderful names that Maureen so confidently and fluently read out? Thank you, Maureen. Just beautiful confidence. That's the secret to reading biblical names, by the way. You just say it confidently and everyone will think they're wrong. So, yep, it was beautifully read. I'll read them out for you. Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. What do you notice about those people? They're men. Oh, Jean, you've ruined my whole sermon. I wasn't going to go there. Okay, yes, they're all men. Yep, okay. Okay. I will go there. That's a really important point. For those that didn't hear what Jean said, she said, wouldn't it be a woman's work to wait on tables? Yeah, let's put the men in their proper place. That's a new reflection. Thank you, Jean. Thank you. Someone said it. All the names... There's not some Greek names. They're all Greek. They're all Greek. Like, you read the news and you see these things about affirmative action, you know, that, oh, you've got to have quotas and you've got to get justice and equity through making sure that everybody has equal access, and then you've got to bias things and go against other groups. And I must confess, I've never been the biggest fan of affirmative action. I always lean towards merit. And yet then I read this passage and I go, this is affirmative action gone mad. There are no Hebrew men responsible for the distribution of the goods in consequence of this. So the minority is being unjustly treated, and the solution is to put the minority in complete control. There's no equality here. It's not 5 and 2, it is 7. We want to be seen to be just and be just. It's affirmative action gone mad. If you just reflect on that for a moment, I love our current deacons. I'll put that on the record right now. I love our current deacons. They are great gifts. But you could argue that they are the majority in this congregation. You could argue that. Now, I'm reasonably confident, as an elder, I guess I should know, but I'm reasonably confident that we haven't got some extreme injustice occurring in our congregation that requires us to take such affirmative action. So what should we do as a body, though, when we see these types of observations and you go, actually, there are people they make up less than perhaps 25% of our congregation, but they're not represented at all on the diaconate. Could we at least aim for that? And I wouldn't have thought that was a really big deal prior to preparing to speak on this. And I'm going, actually, maybe it is. I'm not going to make a diktat and say we're going to install quotas in the Constitution. I'm not going there at all. Yep, yeah, no. It's hard enough to change the Constitution as it is without putting in quotas and affirmative action. But it, I think, is something for us to reflect on as a church community. how can we best serve each other and the community in which we live? If Christ gives deacons to the church as a gift, how can we best be that gift in this community? So I think Rob might be able to correct me if I'm wrong. I'll name a deacon. This is name a deacon. I don't know that we can have any nominations. Today's the last day for nominations of deacons, isn't it? Yep. So we should have done this sermon last week. So, if you are thinking of serving as a deacon, nominate today. It's not too late. It shouldn't make any difference at all if you have never done this in the past, aren't from the older demographic, shall I say. Young people are less represented in our body, but that doesn't mean they should be less represented on the diaconate. What are the actual criteria? Well, that's what the Timothy passage says, and I wasn't going to go. You might have drawn the conclusion from the Timothy passage that one of the criteria is to be male, and there are many, many churches who have drawn that conclusion. Equally, there are many churches that have recognised that in the lists of people Paul thanks in churches all over the world, in the Mediterranean anyway, there are lots of females who are deacons. So it may be that culturally, in Ephesus at the time, it was only men. And so Paul has written that. We're not going to solve that problem this morning. So I don't think male is a criteria. What are the criteria? You tell me. Were you listening? Maureen read it really well, so, and even those in the hearing loop should be able to catch it. Worthy of respect, yep. Good character, yep. Sincere, yep. Full of faith. They know and live the gospel. Humble. Luckily, I'm not hearing anything that any of our current deacons don't currently have. So that's good. That's good. Any other criteria? Pardon? Teach. Where do you get that? 1 Timothy 3. You're going to make me look it up. This is preacher accountability. That's for elders rather than deacons. Yeah. That's a good correction. Come back next week and we will hear all about able to teach. So, because I thought, oh, far out, I've missed something. But anyway, yeah, no. Yeah, it's not necessary that they'll be able to teach. The one thing that struck me as I was reading through that list is that we have to test them. Did you notice that in there? Test them out first. What does that mean, do you think? Checklist? But the checklist is, I don't know, is there a checklist? There is for the elders, far out. That's a long list. Almost exhaustive. There's nothing really for the deacons. I think they're testing the sincerity of their faith, that they know who they follow and what they believe. I think that's what testing is about. Lots of us meet those criteria. Lots of us meet that criteria. Is there a gift of deaconing? Is being a deacon some sort of gift that you can't do it. I'm sorry, the Spirit has not touched me with the gift of deaconing. No. No. All of us are gifted by God. And deacons have gifts that are given by Jesus for the service of the church and the community. They're not defined by their role. That's the other thing that struck me. You can be a deacon, and then you're not a deacon forever. You are not a deacon forever. You are serving at that time and in that place. In this church, it feels like that's slightly different for elders. You've almost got to die to get out of that job. But for deacons, you can serve and rest, and serve and rest. It's amazing. It's actually a stunning thing. How many of you who have never been deacons are thinking of being deacons? Tony, you're going to resign your eldership and become a deacon. No. Oh, why is your hand up then? Ah. But there were two parts to the question. Who has not been a deacon and is thinking about being a deacon? I'm thinking, actually, now you've got me thinking about the Constitution. I don't think you can be a deacon and an elder at the same time. I don't think you can. So, yeah, there you go. I've learned thinking out loud. Yes, I think you need a rest from the fine print once in a while. There is wisdom in this body. That's right. You do need a rest from the fine print. You do need a rest from the fine print. Yeah. Now, the thing that strikes me is that it is not a defined role in the sense that you're precluded from exercising any of your other gifts. Because if you just read on a little bit further in Acts 6, you'll see that there was nothing constraining about being a deacon. Stephen is nominated as a deacon, and in the very next passage, he is out there preaching the word and evangelizing passionately. He is not limited by the waiting on tables clause. He continues to exercise all of the gifts of faith that God gave him in every way possible. Now, it had pretty dire consequences for Stephen. He doesn't live past chapter 7. So I don't know that that's a warning for deacons not to swerve out of their lane at all, but it is a statement that the early church clearly did not think that you're a deacon and you're defined by that role. You are a Christian and you have been given gifts with which to serve the church and the world. Can I just finish there and encourage you, if you are standing as a deacon again, that we all honour and recognise the gift that you are to us. And it is a great gift. And it is no lesser gift than preaching or teaching or being an elder, in my view. I am completely flat. It is a wonderful gift that Jesus has given us as a body. And if you have never considered it, and you have gifts, and you may think, oh, No, those people, they're a bit smarter than me, or they're a bit. No. No. Let's have some affirmative action in our thoughts, shall we? Let's have some affirmative action and get a diverse diaconate. It would be fantastic. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us deacons as a wonderful blessing for your people and for your community. We thank you for those that have served in the last year, and we thank you for those that are nominating to serve in the next year. We know, Lord, that sometimes the fine print can weigh us down. We know that you lift us up and you give us strength to be able to honor, serve, and love you, and you carry our burdens and give us rest. We ask that you would give the members wisdom in choosing their deacons, just as you did way back in Acts 6. We ask all of these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.